Hello and welcome to the Uncensored Wellness Podcast. I'm your host, Sophie Louise, and I'm a sexual empowerment coach who is here to support you in the area of wellness that is too often left off the table, your sexuality. Together, we're going to explore how your sexuality is so intertwined with every aspect of your life and how you can create a life that is just absolutely overflowing with pleasure. Now, let's get into it.
Welcome back to the Uncensored Wellness Podcast. I am so excited today to have Melissa with me to talk all about performative sex. Welcome.
Thank you for having me. Such a great topic. I'm so excited to dive into this.
As am I. There's going to be so many pearls of wisdom here. And I'd love to start by just hearing a little bit about you and your work and just who you are in the world.
Thank you. Yeah. So my name is Melissa Brandes. I'm a certified holistic sex coach. I work predominantly with women and vulva owners, and I work in a one-to-one capacity, workshops, masterminds, in-person events. And yeah, my jam is really looking at holistic sexuality and how can we look at sex through a holistic lens? How can we have these exceptional experiences and really fuller and satisfying experiences? And for me, that's been through the work of looking at it through a holistic lens. So a mind-body integrated approach and really bringing our mental, physical, spiritual, and emotional selves into our sexual experiences. And that is, I just get off on that. And that is my magic and that is my juice that I'm bringing to the sexuality discussion and putting that flavor into it to really help women have incredible experiences and to be fully embodied whilst having great sex. So yeah, that's a bit about what I do and who I work with. And I guess my journey really started about seven years ago now, maybe, when I went to this workshop in Bali. And I walked past this poster in Ubud and it said understanding sex. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so curious. Like, what is that? And instantly, even when I stood there reading it, I was like, oh, thank God, there's so many other posters around. So no one will know that I'm reading the sex poster. And there was just all this shame around sex, you know, even the fact that I was like, okay, I'm going to tell no one that I'm going to this workshop. I'm just going to go like sneakily and never tell anyone. And I've told like hundreds of people. But yeah, my journey started there. And it was just this real awakening of like, how did I not know this about my body? How did I not know that pleasure was actually mine? And it wasn't something that I gave away to somebody. Like sex wasn't something that I did to please somebody else. That was just a result of being in my body and connecting to my own sexuality and pleasure. And back then I obviously didn't think like that. I was just like, oh my God, breast massage, like crystal wands, jade eggs. Like I feel so alive in my body. And that just really started my journey of embodiment and sexuality and really getting connected to this, my pleasure, my body. And yeah, that's kind of, that's the start of the journey.
Yes. And it's led you down such an amazing path. I've never heard your kind of origin story as to why you got into coaching before. And I think a lot of people will really be able to resonate with that. When you start taking in information about sex, you start going to these workshops. You know, I was the same. The first sexuality workshop that I went to, I didn't tell anyone. I just thought that people would think I was so odd. And now I was thinking about this the other day. I was like, six comes up in so many of the conversations that I have. I was at the market yesterday and just started talking about sex with this stall owner. And it's so beautiful to take that ownership of this really important piece of who we are.
And also, normal, right? Normal, this normal, yes, innate part of us. Like that was the biggest thing that I started realizing was like, oh, sex is normal. Like, it's actually normal to want it and to not want it and to learn more about it. And I can really resonate with you as well. It's like, I'm, you know, the more I learned about it, I would tell people like, oh, I'm just going to this woman's retreat, and it's like full sexuality, like woman's retreat. I'm like, no, I won't tell them the finer details. But yeah.
Yeah. And it, cause it's normal and it's natural and it's so integrated within us to the point where we can't repress that. We can't push that down. We can try, we can spend our whole lives trying to ignore this part of us, this arousal, this desire inside of us. And it's just not going to work. So I love what you said about really like taking ownership of your pleasure. That is such a powerful way to come into, you know, really a holistic form of confidence, right? Going back again to what you said about that everything kind of feeds into sex, and then also sex feeds into everything. And that's big really time. Been the mission behind this podcast is like, if you want to be a healthy person, if you want to focus on your personal development, sex needs to be a piece of that puzzle.
Big time. Oh my gosh. And that was the biggest thing is I started realizing, I was a yoga teacher before this, and I just started realizing the well-being space is so filled up with mindfulness and, you know, having your green juices and eating organic and exercising. There was so much evidence based on that stuff and how good it was for you, but no one was talking about sex. Like, even I started my Instagram page 4 years ago. And no, like, I wasn't aware of anybody else really talking about this stuff. That was actually, you know, moving away. Like, I love the, like, let's have crazy orgasms and do that stuff. Like, love that. But no one was talking about it. Like, it actually was a fundamental part of our well-being. And like, let's focus on that. Mm-hmm. And so that was my mission. Like, how can we actually make sexual wellness a part of the well-being conversation?
Yes. It's a really popular term now, and I think we can kind of brush past the actual meaning of the term sexual wellness, but it is, that's exactly it. It's so integrated into our overall wellness. We just cannot leave this off the table.
100%.
And I think, you know, perhaps for some people, the first step in really tapping into their sexuality is, you know, admitting that it's there, seeing that they have this sexual side of themselves, but then perhaps going in a different direction and bringing up their sexuality almost for the good of other people, not doing it in an authentic way, doing it in a performative way. And I think that was also a real piece of my journey was acknowledging, oh, I can be sexual, but I was being sexual for the good of others and not doing that in an aligned way.
That was exactly my journey as well. Yeah, I had a huge realization around that.
Yeah, I'd love to hear more about what that journey was like for you.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, it started off when I caught my boyfriend watching porn when I was 21, and I had never watched porn before then. And, you know, I was intrigued and obviously really hurt and so confused that he was watching this. And, you know, you go through all the self-worth stuff that comes with that. But then I got curious. I was like, well, you know, I'm interested. What are you watching? What does turn you on? And then when I just started seeing these women just taking it, you know, and kind of like, they weren't saying, no, stop, I don't like that. Or no, why don't we try this? You know, they were just essentially, what I saw was that they were a piece of me. Now, you know, side note here, not all porn is like that. And there are ethical porn options out there. But essentially, this was my experience. And I was like, oh my God, okay, I need to do that. I need to wear like teeny tiny little T-strings. And I need to like sound really loud. I need to move my body in these ways that didn't necessarily feel good for me or couldn't really get me off. But I knew like, okay, well, that's what they're doing. That's what I need to do as well. And I did that for friggin' years. You know, it was like, I know that this move works, or I know that like gets them going. And it was all based on validation and focus. Like, I will do this thing and they will love me. They will want me. They will think I'm sexy. They will, you know, it's like, I never tapped into, wait, what makes you feel sexy? What makes you feel wanted in your heart? What makes you, there was none of that. It was not based on me. It was just this performance for another. And sure, you know, of course, I got off, I orgasmed and it was great, but it was never this full bodied experience. It was just like, I need to do this to be a woman in the bedroom.
I resonate with that so, so deeply. I literally, the first time that I had sex, I had already been exposed to porn before then, and not the kind of educational porn that is out there. Sort of often it's called like porn that is aimed at females, but that's not always the case. You know, men can really enjoy this more artsy form of porn as well. And I had sex for the first time, and I just remember thinking, I need to watch more porn so I know what I'm doing. And that has stuck with me so vividly, that I was trying to direct myself towards what other people were doing. I didn't even have a single thought in my mind that was curious about what worked for me, what actually felt good in my body, because I truly was there to please my partner. Like you said, yes. I was there because I thought that to be a good girlfriend, to be a good woman, I needed to please my partner in the bedroom. I needed to put on this performance that truly is all about them, and then will make me feel loved. Yeah, I love that you brought that up. It was something that I was reflecting on before we started recording here. It was, for me, a huge people-pleasing dynamic behind the sex that I was having. I was absolutely, every single thing I did, I was doing for my partner and not for myself.
100%, yeah. And you just, like, I didn't know any other way. You know, like, I didn't know that I was to find out what I enjoyed and then communicate that to my partner. Like, you're just not taught that stuff at school. You know, it's like, to be like hot in the sack, you need to be doing this. You need to be extra loud. You need to be like gushing everywhere. And you need to be like enjoying every single minute of it, even if you're in a position that you don't like. Like, it was just like, yes, that feels great. Yes. Oh, this is so, you know, it's just, there was no such thing as going, no, let's explore this together. Like, something's not feeling right for me. Did not exist.
Absolutely. Yeah. I don't know about the sex education that you received in school, but for me, it was all about contraceptives and STIs. Those were pretty much the two topics that were covered. There was nothing about pleasure. There was nothing about learning how to communicate. And so I, and a lot of people that I know, got all of my education around pleasure from porn, and just never thought that it could look anything different from just orgasming, from like penetrative sex, from penis and vagina sex, and that kind of script that happens in porn. And we really miss out on that. And it really is so detrimental to women's pleasure. And I really believe that that contributes to this orgasm gap that exists between the different genders, where men are so much more likely to have an orgasm.
Big time. And there's a whole lot of stuff on that as well. I'm sure you've probably looked into it, but it's like a lot of pleasure research that was done, you know, a decade ago, even a couple of decades ago, was based on the male body. And so people just assumed that, you know, do this, do that, that method, you then just apply that to a female body because we are kind of made up the same, but just a little bit differently. And it's like, no, that doesn't work. Let's like re-research that. So
And so we're led to have these false ideas of how things should work, and when they don't work that way, we try and fit ourselves into that anyway, in order to feel worthy, in order to feel like we're doing it right. Yes. And like you said, that leads to like fake moaning. For me, that was a lot of faking orgasms, like doing, you know, always like arching your back even when it's really uncomfortable, and sucking in your stomach when you're having sex, and always thinking about how you look and the faces that you're making. And And as well as that, I think it's also a huge piece is how it feels to be having this performative sex.
Mm.
When I was constantly faking my pleasure, it was so, I think the biggest word that comes up for me is it was so unfulfilling.
Mm.
I finished every sexual experience feeling like I'd missed something, feeling like kind of hollow and just really, really uncertain. I never felt satisfied. And for me, that's been a huge change in moving away from performative sex is how sex actually makes me feel.
100%. And if we are always just focusing on orgasm, it is going to feel hollow. It is going to feel like there needs to be something more. And that's why I jam on holistic sexuality, because there is more. You know, there's so much more to orgasm. And actually, when you focus on your whole self, your authentic self in the bedroom, those orgasms will freaking blow the roof off. You know, and it's like, I just think, when we talk about performative sex, it's like we need to be acting a certain way for it to look good. And it's like, let's forget about the looking. Like, I look like an animal in the bedroom, you know? And let's get into how it feels, like what you said, and like, what does it feel like for you? Do you feel connected to your heart? Do you feel connected to your pussy? Do you feel connected to your lover? Do you feel connected to even the tools that you're using? You know, like really cultivating deeper experiences through connection.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah. And from that, I hear a real just focus on prioritizing pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a huge, again, a huge difference in how performative versus authentic sex feels is the levels of pleasure that exist for you. And I know that it can be really challenging for a lot of women to prioritize their own pleasure over other people's pleasure. But I think that that is a key motivator in changing your approach to sex is putting your pleasure first.
Big time, big time. And look, we've been conditioned not to, right? We've been conditioned to, as even mothers, to care for everybody else and put everyone else first, and that kind of martyr mentality of like, you come last. You know, it's like, fuck that. Can I swear?
Yeah, of course.
So it's like, no, let's rewrite that script, because we are the priority. We are number one, because if we are number one, then everybody wins as well, you know? And it's like, how can we make ourselves a priority, that being our pleasure as well, so that we can have these fulfilling experiences? Because when you start to communicate and go, no, actually, you know what? Like, say, for example, like your partner, and I'm just going to talk to hetero relationships right now, and that's majority of my experience anyway, is that it can be common that the man finishes first, right? Or the male finishes first. And then it's kind of like, and what about me? Like, am I just going to get my toys out and finish myself off? Like, even when I was younger, like the same boyfriend that I caught watching porn, I remember multiple times I would be like, okay, I'm just going to go to the bathroom, and I'll just be like, okay, quick, jam it out, like finish myself off. And it's like, when we step into this energy of, I am worthy of pleasure, I am worthy of receiving pleasure as well, that's when we start to step up and can communicate, hey, I know you finished, like, I'd love you to go down on me, or I would love it if you just gave me a pussy massage or something like that. And I think there's a real power and sexiness when a woman's like, I'm going to claim this. Like, I know you're done and I love you, but also like, I'm still going. Like, tongue, hands, let's go.
Yes, yes. I want a world filled with more women who really own their pleasure. And when we are in our pleasure, that just oozes out of us. And as you said, really benefits everyone around us. The world just becomes that little bit more radiant.
Mm.
And in saying that, I love what you mentioned. You know, we're talking about moving away from performative sex, but I think it's really great to acknowledge that there are so many valid reasons why women are faking their pleasure or putting other people before themselves, are disconnected from their sexuality. You know, there's nothing strictly wrong with doing that. You're not broken for doing that. There's so many reasons why you would do that. And also that doesn't need to be the way that you move through the rest of your life. There is 100%. So much potential for change, so much potential to really come back in your body and own who you are in the bedroom.
Fuck yes. Own who you are.
Yes. And something that I think is really left out of this conversation, you know, we've talked about how performative sex is detrimental to the people who are doing that, the people who are acting out who they think they should be in the bedroom. But what I think is often left out is how performative sex is really detrimental to, it's typically men, but just to these people's partners. And I'd love to hear you speak a little bit more on that topic.
Yeah, so detrimental to partners when you are performing in sex, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, think of it like this. If you are like, I'm trying to think of like a good analogy here, but essentially if you are faking something, someone is believing something about you, right? So you are having to put all this energy out there to be like, yes, no, this is who I am. I'm not anxious and shy and vulnerable. Like all these things, you're pretending to be something that you're not. And then the person who is connecting with you, a partner, is then going, oh, okay, they love it really rough, or they love that position, or they love it when I do this thing to them, or, you know, they don't even need foreplay. They just love penetration straight away. So if you're pretending to enjoy all of these things, your partner is then going, oh, okay, I'm learning from her or them wanting these things and saying yes to these things. So that must mean that that's what they want. And it's this continual cycle that you get stuck in. And so your partner wants to please you, right? Unless you're with an asshole. Your partner wants to please you and they want you to have fulfilling experiences. So if you are teaching them that you like something that you don't, it is going to be detrimental to them because they think that they're pleasuring you and you're going, oh my God, when is this going to be over? Oh my God, I can't believe they're doing that again. Like, what the hell? I'm just going to. So it's like you are the one. And yeah, I'm going to hold some accountability here. You are the one that is teaching your partner how to love you and fuck you and pleasure you. So if you are teaching them a fake way, that is on you. And, you know, I think how it can be detrimental to your partner is they just have no idea. They have no idea. And it can create so much disconnection when we're pretending to be someone that we're not to our partner, right? It's like this part of you, this vulnerable part of you that you're not actually sharing. And when you get to share all of yourself with someone, and, you know, maybe you have to be a bit vulnerable and say, I feel really scared to share this with you, but I actually don't like it that rough. Or, you know, I feel embarrassed, but I need like really long foreplay to feel aroused, or whatever it is, you know, it's sharing this vulnerable part of you. And vulnerability is the quickest way to a deeper connection in your relationship or even with someone that you're casually sleeping with. So if you choose to go there, vulnerably, you are choosing to cultivate a deeper connection with yourself, but also with your partner. And when your partner sees that part of you, it's like, oh, I can be accepted. Like, this part of me can be accepted. And boom, you drop into deeper states of love. Boom, your heart is now open, you know, and like good sex comes from an open heart. So I really believe that it is detrimental to both partners, not only just the partner in front of you, but also partnering with yourself, right? It's like, it's this circle that you kind of spiral down when you pretend to be someone that you're not, and you just don't feel met, you know? It's like the surface stuff, and I'm here for the deep stuff, you know? I'm here for the D&Ms, I'm here for the vulnerable shit, like I'm here for it all. Because I believe and have experienced what comes of that, the benefits of going deep and heart stuff.
Yeah, that is really powerful stuff. And I've really been talking about that a lot on my Instagram recently around faking orgasms and how it seems like this kind of innocent thing to do, but really what you're doing is you're affirming your partner's behavior. You're saying that something that your partner is doing, you're enjoying, when actually that is not the case. And you're leading them down this complete other direction. And really assuming that your partner is not able to take on the truth, right? That you can't actually be honest with your partner. And I think that we forget that sex and everything that happens in the bedroom is just an extension of the rest of your relationship, right?
Totally.
And if, like you said, if you're not with an asshole, you're with someone who actually cares about your experience, who loves you, who wants you to be honest and vulnerable. And just because that might, you know, just because sex is happening behind closed doors, it doesn't suddenly change the whole dynamic of your relationship. You can still be 100%. Honest and know that your partner wants to please you in bed.
100%. And look, what I have found anyway is, when I have gone and stepped into that vulnerable field and kind of like feels like I'm baring my chest and going, fuck, it has then allowed my partner to go, oh, well, actually, I have also been feeling like this, you know, whether that's about sex or just a conversation in your relationship. I have seen that in my current relationship now that my partner has, he's never been so open in his life. And he says that to me all the time, like, I have never been this open before. And that's because you led by example of honesty and vulnerability and just sharing what's on your heart. Even if you thought that it would hurt me, you just say it because, like, that's the relationship we have. So, you know, don't just think that you're the one bearing your chest. See it as an opportunity for your partner to then view you as that example and step into their vulnerable heart as well.
Absolutely. I love that. And I think that really makes me reflect on how these porn-centered narratives impact men as well. Men also come to learn that they should be having sex in a certain way and that maybe they should want to be rough with female partners. And when you open up about your authentic sexuality, like you said, that really gives them the opportunity to say, oh, actually, I really like it really slow and sensual. And I love it when you say that you love me during sex and all of these things that maybe don't fit within that, like, really dominant, hyper-masculine narrative that's portrayed through porn.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. I couldn't agree more.
And we've really talked about how performative sex impacts what happens in the bedroom, right? This, the moaning, the faking orgasms, the, you know, the sort of order of events that should happen, the things that should be included. Like, I feel like big and porners are like ass slapping and hair pulling and that kind of thing, which if you're into that, that's totally fine. But I think we come to believe that that must be included. And what I also find interesting to consider is how this performative sexuality impacts who we are outside of sex as well. That we can come into these ideas that we should be a certain person in bed and out of bed, even just in the way that we hold our bodies or the way that we dress, that we should dress in this way that exudes sexuality and really appeals to the male gaze, even if that is not what is authentic to us. And again, putting other people's interests and other people's views of us ahead of how we view ourselves.
Massively. Oh, I have so much to say about this. So, I mean, the first thing that's coming up for me is, like, the bedroom or sex is one of the most vulnerable places that we share ourselves, right? We're spreading our legs. We're like, you know, there's lots of fluid, there's all of these things that we come into play with. And it's like, if you can be vulnerable in the bedroom, if you can go, yes, and this is me, that is where the liberation happens. And when you can do that in the bedroom, you bring that out of the bedroom, right? Because you get a sense of how that feels, like, oh my God, that was so cool that I could just go, you know what, I'm going to leave the lights on while he, she, or they go down on me. Or, like, I'm going to, you know, these tiny little tweaks that you start doing to play with a bit of your edge. And then because you've done that and you've gone, whoa, okay, I can do that, it's so easy to then bring that out outside of the bedroom and go, oh, you know what? I am actually going to use my voice. Like, I am going to, you know, ask for that pay rise, or I am going to do it. Like, if I can tell my partner that something doesn't feel good in the moment, which feels really scary, like, why can't I ask my boss for days off or a pay rise or thing, you know? And that was my experience. I started in the bedroom and then I was like, oh my God, like, I feel so empowered in the bedroom and fucking liberated. Like, I'm going to try this on outside, and not even in sexual ways. It just naturally started happening that I was able to communicate what I wanted and desired outside of the bedroom with my colleagues, with my friends, with my family, boundaries. You know, it all affects, well, sex as we know it affects all areas of our life. How can we feel liberated in the bedroom and then come out and not have a sense of that, even a tiny sense of that in our everyday life? Like, it just doesn't work. It naturally starts to ripple out into all areas of your life. And I think when you can kind of reclaim yourself in the bedroom and say, this is who I am at my core, and I'm not a super maybe sexual, like soft sensual woman, I'm actually more of a tomboy in the bedroom, and that feels like me. And then claiming that outside of the bedroom, it's like, yeah, you know what, fuck what society says about women, I don't have to wear dresses, or I don't have to do dot dot, you know. It's just like this, it's the domino effect of like, I feel liberated in the bedroom, so watch me play outside of the bedroom as well. And it just happens. You don't even need to go, okay, now that I've done this in the bedroom, like, I need to do it. Just happens. There's a flow. It's a new embodiment and a new energy that you're in, and it ends up being easy because of the sense that you get within you, the feeling that it gives you.
Yeah, that is so powerful, and I really believe that that works the other way around as well.
Yeah.
When you start to liberate yourself outside of the bedroom, really come into who you are as a person outside of all of these molds that you've been told to fit into, that then flows into who you are when you're having sex. It's that age old saying that the way you do one thing is the way you do everything. It truly is all so intertwined and interconnected when you start to break down those barriers that are stopping you from being authentic. And you learn, I think for a lot of people, it's learning how to communicate who they are, learning how to set boundaries around what they actually want. That just impacts every aspect of your life, including, as you said, like asking for a promotion or telling your friend that actually you don't want to be treated like that, you know, whatever it is.
Massively. And I've seen that, like, I've seen that within myself. Communication is everything. Like, I am the queen of communication. It needs to be said. And what I have noticed even in my friendships is, like, I will tell my friend of something that they've said has hurt me, or the way that they're acting has really disappointed me, or something like that, because of the way I've been able to communicate with my partners and being in that intimate space. It's like, oh, okay, you know, like exactly what I said before, if I can do that in the bedroom, I can totally do that with my family or my girlfriends, because you've got the tools. It's the same kind of strategy, except you're probably just not talking about sex or, you know, genitals and things like that with your family and your friends, but you apply that same empowerment, that same confidence behind how you communicate.
And a big piece of that is learning that you are safe when you speak up, learning, you know, letting your body learn that you're not going to get hurt in any way for speaking up for who you are, right? The more you do it, the more your body realizes this is a safe thing to do. This is something that it can actually cope with. It's not going to totally like override the whole system and just push you out of control. And it becomes so much easier. The anxiety around that really lessens. It becomes a bit less uncomfortable. There's a bit less resistance. You're just able to, with a bit more ease and confidence, be more authentic, however that looks for you.
Love that. Yeah, couldn't agree more. So true.
And so I think we've given quite a clear idea around like what performative sex looks like, why that can be really detrimental both to you and your partner and how great authentic sex feels. But I'm curious what advice you have to people who are listening, who are going, okay, that sounds good, but how the hell do I do that? What action steps are required to get me through this? You know, there can be huge blocks within people that are stopping them from being authentic, particularly if you're in a long-term relationship and you've perhaps spent a lot of time being performative, and now you're kind of ready to change that and to feel more pleasure, to enjoy sex more. How do you start to do that?
So it works different in two ways. If you're in a long-term relationship and you've been faking it and now you've kind of got to tell your partner the truth, I think that's a different conversation than if maybe you're single and it's like, okay, I'm going to explore these things. So let me talk into both of those quickly. So if you're single and you're like, okay, you know, my one night stands, I've been faking them all the time, or I've been saying, you know, that I love being on top when actually that doesn't get me off. Start exploring. One, I always love asking the why. Why are you performing? You know, and actually like getting into the deeper, more subconscious conditioning and those patterns. Like, are you doing it because you feel like you're not worthy enough? Do you, you know, is there some deserving pieces in there? Is it shame? You know, just understanding that, because then that gives you a foundation to play off. Okay, well, actually I feel shame that I like it slow. So then it's like, cool, how can I start acknowledging and accepting that actually this is a part of me and it's a beautiful part of me? So really looking at the why are you performing? And then going a bit deeper, what is true for me? So what do I really enjoy? And you can explore that through self-pleasure. You can explore if you are with a partner, but we're talking to singles here. Understanding what it is that you enjoy and what you don't. It's really important to understand what you don't as well. So really going down that road, the why, loving it, getting clear on what that piece is, and then starting to work on your sexual exploration journey. What is it that you enjoy? What don't you enjoy? What really excites you? What do you need to feel like you can fully drop in and orgasm or be in your body? Basic. If you're in a partnership and you have been, I've done this, if you have been faking to your partner and now it's time to tell the truth. I mean, something that I did, I didn't really say, look, I've been faking these orgasms. I just went, hey, I've been on this journey of exploring my body and I've found out that I actually really love longer foreplay. Can we do more of that? Can we do like a minimum of 15 minutes? Because I self-pleasured the other day and I gave, you know, just kind of diving into, look, I've been exploring this and I realize that this really turns me on. And if you want to, of course, I'm not saying like, don't be honest and don't tell your partner. If you really want to go there because you feel shame around it, it could make you feel like a weight is lifted off you to go, no, if you're really shameful about this, but actually like I've never orgasmed before and I faked it and I feel a lot of shame around that, and let your partner hold you and hold space for you, you know, like feel that love and support. And again, it comes back to the why were you faking? Was it to impress your partner? Was it to keep your partner? You know, what was the why under there? And then moving forward on from that and sharing that journey with your partner. So always coming back to exploring yourself. It's not your partner's job to explore your body and tell you what you like and don't like. Sure, you can pick up a few things on the way, but do your homework. Do your homework and figure out what gets you going. Like, what do you love? Do you love that whip coming out? Do you love your hair being pulled? Like, try it on with your partner and be like, oh, okay, that's a big hard no. Like, definitely don't like that. Or like, whoa, that was fun. I want more of that. And really invite your partner into that journey with you. You're not alone and you don't have to be alone. Yeah, big thing I think is understanding the why and then releasing the shame around whatever that why is. Like, the more you can release the charge of it, the more you have space to actually step into your liberation and step into your sexual exploration journey. And that's the important part, right? It's not continually focusing on your blocks and the why. It's like, cool, that was that. I can acknowledge that. And now I move on.
Yeah, I love that. I also think asking that why question is going to be really impactful, really profound, such a necessary thing to do that you can, you know, sit down and whip out a journal right now and really go into. And then yeah, knowing what actually gets you going. What is your authentic pleasure? Where do you find that? And I've talked about this 100 times and I'll talk about it 100 more times, but self-pleasure can be so key for that, to really take that time when you're by yourself to explore your body, when there's no pressure on you from other people being around. You know, if you find it harder to try new things with someone else present, to communicate when you like and don't like something, doing it by yourself gives you this great foundation to then share that with your partner and to move from there. And I think even as I'm saying that, I'm aware that actually this performative nature can come into self-pleasure too.
Of course. Yeah.
Even when there's nobody watching, it's so interesting to get curious about how this conditioning can impact you when you're by yourself. Even the toys that you're using, the positions that you're in, you know, even the moans that you let yourself make when you're by yourself can be really impacted by these same things that are encouraging you to be performative with a partner. So just really having compassion for that, noticing when that desire to be performative comes up, and constantly just directing yourself back to your pleasure, letting your pleasure be what motivates you to be more authentic, you know. And when you really are deep in that pleasure, feeling how fulfilling that is, feeling how meaningful that can be, let that be the springboard that motivates you to have these conversations that might be a little bit challenging, to really step into who you are.
Beautiful. Yes. Yes to the springboard.
All right. I think that pretty much wraps us up. Are there any kind of other pressing things around this topic that you're just like yearning to get off your chest?
I think something really important just to mention here is a little like caveat and piece here is tap into your self-worth. You know, really, really feel into that you deserve incredible, fulfilling sexual experiences. Like, you fucking deserve that. And when you can be in that deserving energy, like, oh yeah, I do deserve this, that can help the wheels in motion of going, okay, I deserve that. So maybe I deserve communicating. Maybe I deserve telling my partner something, you know, like really believe that you are deserving of incredible sexual experiences, because you are, and every single other person on this planet is as well. So self-worth is, I think, a really, really big piece to gluing this all together, because you can't feel like you don't deserve something or you're not enough for something and be liberated in that, or and feel empowered in that. You know, you've got to have that foundation of worthiness and deserving and feeling like you're enough to really step into empowerment and liberation.
That's a really essential piece to add. And I'd love to hear from you, for anyone who's listened to this conversation and they've loved what you've been saying, they just want to get more of you. How can they get in contact with you? How can they work with you?
Yeah, absolutely. So at the moment, I have currently got some new fresh one-to-one offerings. So if you want to learn more, if you want to get in touch, definitely head over to my Instagram. That's where I have all my free content and information. My Instagram is at Melissa Vranges, a bit of a mouthful at the end there. So it's MelissaVranges. And then that will take you through to my website, my membership zone, and all the other luscious offerings that I have as well. That's the hotspot.
Amazing. Including the classroom, which I believe is your newest offering that just looks absolutely amazing.
Thank you. Yeah. The The membership zone is seriously lit. Like, it's just so fun and it's super affordable as well. So if you're looking for that kind of sexual education to be part of a community and have practices that you come back to every single day or month, the classroom is the jam. I love it.
Amazing. All right. Thank you so, so much for sharing your wisdom with me and everyone listening. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you, lovely. And I so appreciate you inviting me on. This conversation's lit me up.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Uncensored Wellness Podcast. Just by listening, you're proving to yourself that you are worthy and deserving of more pleasure in your life. I would really appreciate you taking the time to leave this podcast a review on your favorite podcast platform and sharing your most loved episodes with those in your life who you think would benefit from them. If this podcast has sparked something in you that is desiring more pleasure, more fulfillment, and more inspiration within your sex, love, and relationships, I would love to hear from you so that together we can create a deep and holistic transformation in your life. You can get in touch with me through my Instagram at @SophieLouise. That's spelled SofieLouise. And through my website, www.sophielouise.com. I can't wait to see you back here for the next episode of the Uncensored Wellness Podcast. Bye for now.